the strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea.
The average person is too lazy. Too lazy. You know, it takes some energy to live right. God's people have gotten away from what God gave us when Moses went in the mountain. Let me ask you this. Did the children of Israel ever get sick while they were walking in the commandments? No. You know they didn't. You'd say, well, what about all those snakes that bit them? What about it? The Bible said to criticize God, that's sin. They criticize God's man, that's sin. Wasn't the one thing wrong with that bunch? The snakes never would have gotten there if they hadn't sinned. And brother, those snakes are crawling everywhere now. People questioning God. Well, why did God permit it? Why did God? I got letters today, and the question was, well, why did God permit this? Somebody came to them and said, well, why did the Lord? When they're living in backslidden condition, don't question the God, question yourself. Oh, listen, dear friends. We've gone away from the Word of God. This is the sickest nation that's ever been. Every hospital, you just go, you can smell sickness when you step within a block of a hospital. You can smell rotten flesh, diseased flesh, breaths that come from a rotten stomach, belching forth the poisons that ought never have been taken into the system. Spiritually, I believe God smells our nasty breath tonight. God wants some spiritual incense to go up. It'll be a sweet smell and a sweet odor. God's sweetest perfume is the singing breath of a sainted Christian. That's it. He likes to hear his children sing. But now then, excuse me, but it's so. You go in and sit right in front of that idiot box. And all of hell belches forth and blood begins to run and women scream and others hug and kiss somebody that's not their husband. And you see immorality portrayed, and then you wonder why on Sunday morning it's so hard to get up and go worship God. Brother, if you want revival, give up the devil and sin. And start living like people used to live when they were happy and holy before God. I'm coming up to my text in a little while. That's time to lay a foundation. Moses is in the Bible conference now. God said, Moses, that's all I'm going to give you. Bible conference dismissed. Moses started down the hill and met Brother Joshua. I love Joshua. He's a great fellow. But dear friends, he walked in the shadow of a great man. He was Moses' understudy. Listen, young preachers, if you want a blessing, walk side by side with a man of God. Get all you can. Get your convictions straight. Don't go off to college before you get your convictions straightened out here. Let me warn you. Don't ever go on a college campus until you get your convictions fixed. Because if you don't, you won't get them up there. Average college didn't have enough conviction to fill a thimble, so don't go off to college now. And listen, get your faith fixed. See? Get your heart fixed before you ever go off to college. If you don't do that, don't ever go to college. Stay home, read the Bible, and pray till God tells you something. I believe everybody, before he goes off to college, ought to go to Arabia. He ought to go to a Bible conference on the Mount. And he ought to go like great preachers. Elijah was at the brook, and the Lord dealt with them personally and spiritually. And everybody needs that personal experience with the Lord that can never be taken away. So, he's coming down. Joshua said, Moses is north of the war in the camp. Moses' keen ears said, yeah. It's a strange noise, isn't it? That's not God's noise. You know, there's a lot of difference between God's noise and the devil's racket. The Bible said make a joyful noise, but they wasn't making that kind of noise. They were making a heathen noise. That was an idolatry noise. You can hear it everywhere. You go down the street, you hear it everywhere. People go down the street, the little old transistor radio in their hand, they're not listening to Nearer My God Today, they're listening to rock and roll. And so he said, it's sure a strange noise, isn't it? They went on into the camp, and you know what they saw, don't you? Brother Aaron, now remember, he was the unnecessary member of the committee. See, God didn't call committees, he calls people, I mean individuals. He said, Moses, I want you to go out and tell old Pharaoh, let my people go. And Moses said, Lord, you know, I have a little impediment in my feet, and I need a spokesman for me. The Lord said, who made your tongue? He said, well, thou didst make my tongue. He said, I make a talk. I believe God can use a person that stutters, that's dedicated, more than a man that speaks plain if he's not consecrated. I've lost all my desire and my confidence in great talent. I've heard that so long. Oh, what a tremendous blessing if he has such talent. Your talent's not worth a snap of my finger if it's not dedicated to God. And so, Moses walked up and he saw him, and he's dancing. You know, I found out something. Somebody handed me a natural food or health food magazine in the room where I was, and I noticed, and this is kind of good, even though it's coming from a bad source. They said that dancers, I mean the ballet dancers and the people that put a lot of exercise into it, I'm not talking about this mushroom dancing. I'm not talking about this lovey-dovey, you know, dancing, but this kind where they really jump. They gave pictures of people that were 80 and 90 still doing ballet dancing. Now, I'm not for ballet unless it's spiritual ballet. I mean, and we'll do a lot of it when we get to heaven, I believe. I hear people every once in a while. Somebody said to me, said, well, Olaf, when I was back there, just begin to preach, said, I feel sorry for you. They said, you're missing a lot. I said, in what way? Well, said, you never dance and you never go to the dances. And said, man, I said, you wait till this thing's over. I'll dance up a storm when I get to heaven. But they'll take the sin out of it before I get there. Amen? Because I've seen that fella go to the dogs. I've watched him. He went down. And dear friend, you just put it down that the dance has always been of the devil. It's always a worldly, sinful, sexual, liquor-drinking, booze-sipping crowd that dances. It's always been that way, and it'll always be that way because God tells it. Now, there's the first dance that we hear about. They were dancing around what? A golden calf. And Aaron had built a golden calf, and they were dancing. Now then, here's my text, old-fashioned text, wonderful text. Moses looked at them and said, who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come over and stand with me. Now, I believe that one of the tasks and one of the privileges and responsibilities of a preacher is to draw the line and ask the people to get on the right side. And did you know, when we had preachers and evangelists and people that served God, when they were playing about drawing this line, we had more people that would identify themselves with the Lord. And this is a text that every evangelist used to use. You didn't hear a man preach 2 or 3 weeks without preaching on this text. Who's on the Lord's side? Amen. Now, people identify themselves with the Republicans and the Democrats and the Independents and all the rest of them, but I want to ask one question tonight. Who is on the Lord's side? I'm going to answer some questions like, how can a man get on the Lord's side? How can you tell when a man's on the Lord's side? What are the benefits of being on the Lord's side? Now I want to give you one other verse. It's in the New Testament. The wages of sin is death. Now, everybody is on one of two sides. One side is the Lord's side, the other side is the devil's side. Now, you're not going to be on one of those sides. You're on one of them right now. I talked to a man who was lost. I said, are you saved? And he said, no, sir. But I'd like you to understand I'm not lost. I mean, he was very serious about it. In other words, he built him up some neutral ground. He built him up a fence in between, see. And I said to a fellow not long ago, I said, are you for the Lord? No, he said, I'm not really for him, but I want you to know I'm sure not against him. See, he's ignorant. My Bible says you're either for me or you're against me. You're gathering with me or you're scouting abroad. Everybody under the tent and the radio land, You're either for the Lord or you're against the Lord right now. And you're going to hell at the pace of 24 hours a day, or either you're going to heaven just that fast. And we're just 24 hours nearer home, and your relationship to Jesus Christ will determine what home. And so here tonight, we face a hell-bound or a heaven-bound congregation. And I'm asking one question. Who's on the Lord's side? Now, if I said who's on the Baptist side, that may not amount to too much. If I said who's on the Catholic side or the Presbyterian side, that's not the question. I want you to get the question straight right now. Who is on the Lord's side? Who is on... Now, when I say the Lord, I mean Jesus. Let's make it real plain. If you're on Jesus' side, and no man down here and anywhere else is on the Lord's side unless he's on Jesus' side. And I'll guarantee you, according to the Word of God, that if you've not been saved through the blood of Christ, you're not on the Lord's side. There's only one way, and that's to be saved through the precious grace of God, demonstrated, distributed, and donated through Jesus Christ on Calvary and his wonderful resurrection. Now, who is on the Lord's side? That's the question. Now then, let me mention some folks that are not on the Lord's side. The man who has professed but won't live right, he's not on the Lord's side. The man who joined the church, made a vow, accepted a responsibility, but he fails to read his Bible and pray and to walk with God and to witness, he's not on the Lord's side. Really, you're not. You can say, well, I've been a Baptist all of my life. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, are you on the Lord's side? The man who does not live a consistent Christian life, and if he doesn't live right in his home, he's not on the Lord's side. The husband and wife that fuss and fight and criticize and nag and complain and backbite and gossip, you're not on the Lord's side. Not at all. You're not on the Lord's side. No, sir. I tell you, somebody else, it's not on the Lord's side. The man who sits here tonight, breathes God's fresh air, or what's left of his fresh air if the man got through tinkering with it, polluting it. The man who has walked in God's sunshine. You know, there's one thing they've never done. They've never polluted the sun. Thank God for that. Of course, if man ever got to it, of course, it'd burn him up before he ever got there. But, I mean, he'll never fool with the sun. Have you ever noticed, man, he's so interested in going to the moon, but he never mentions going to the sun. Look like everybody's scared of the sun. And the sun shows no signs of decay. Fires, great flames of fire leaping out thousands of miles, they tell me, away from that mighty ball of fire. See, no, shows no signs of decay. Man's interested in everything, look like, but the sun. And yet there's healing from the sun. There's life from the sun. And there's direction from the sun. And the old moon lives on borrowed light. And we're living on borrowed light also. But the man who's without Christ, you've never been born again. You've never been saved. You've never been converted. You're not on the Lord's side tonight. You think about being against God. And every breath you draw is in the palm of his hand. Every day that you live, the right exercise of mind, food, raiment, clothes, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, cometh down from the Father of light, in whom there's no variable, neither shadow turning. And everything you've had today that's been good came from God, and yet you're against God right now. You're not on the Lord's side. And one of these days, you're going to be brought to the reckoning time. The judgment morning is rolling around. Every man. Now, I believe this. The Bible said we're to judge ourselves and we'll not be judged. Well, a long time ago, I judged myself guilty before God. And I said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. I want to be saved. And I want Jesus to come in my heart. And he did. Now then, there's therefore now no judgment to them that are in Christ Jesus, to them that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For what the law could not do in his weak through the flesh, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that we wouldn't have to live anymore after the lusts of the flesh. You see, when you're on the Lord's side, you have the Lord's victory. Now then, let's go a little bit further. Who's on the Lord's side? Now, may I say this? Didn't everybody accept the challenge? Because the Bible said a lot of them got destroyed. And if you act like the children of Israel acted back there then, there's going to be a bunch of you refuse right here tonight to get on the Lord's side. But I promise you this, you're going to die in your sin. You're going to be defeated just like they were, and you'll never enter the promised land. When you refuse by faith to step across on the Lord's side, and Moses said, who's on the Lord? He didn't say who's on my side, but I'll guarantee he came out of that Bible conference on the Lord's side. He said, now I want you to know, when you come over on the Lord's side, I'll be standing right there with you because I'm on the Lord's side. And he was waving. Of course, the word of God had been broken. You remember that? And the five books and the stones had been destroyed. Of course, God took him right back up the mountain again, didn't he? Made him fast 40 more days. He fasted 80 days for the first five books of the Bible. You know, isn't it strange that God would make a man fast 40 days to give him the Bible, and the preachers say that fasting's not for our day to day, nor to understand the Bible? Isn't it strange that fasting would come into such bad repute? And only the Bible that we like is what we accept. We don't accept that which we don't like. And tradition, of course, is always against the Word of God. And the most of the stuff you get when you go off to college or school is tradition. That's what they've been given for years. And tradition's what man made up, though he bases some of it on the Word of God. He refuses many of the main doctrines of the Bible for Christian living. Now, the Baptists have been fairly pure in salvation by grace. We believe that. But at the time we preach salvation by grace, when we live physically and mentally and spiritually in disgrace, our doctrine don't amount to too much. We don't need more orthodoxy. We need more orthopraxy. And when we practice what we say we believe, then people will begin to pay attention to it. Now then, let me ask a question. Why be on the Lord's side? Do I have any reasons? Well, I'll give you three. Number one, it's the safe side. Well, that means something to me now. It's the safe side. That's the only place I know how to be. You know, nobody's safe outside the will of God. Nobody's in danger inside the will of God. It's just that simple. Now, every person that's on the Lord's side ought to be inside the will of God. Now, ask the question, what habits do you believe you have that you believe are outside the will of God? Would you give them up? You'd say, well, why don't you name some? Well, let me ask you to name them. Would you agree with me that cigarette smoking is outside the will of God? You say yes. Would you believe that cursing is outside? You say yes. Do you believe that buying more than you can pay for, it's outside the will of God? Do you believe that reading the newspaper more than you read the Bible is outside the will of God? You say yes. All right. What you gonna do about it? Do you believe that fussing at your wife, nagging at your wife, is outside the will? You'd say, oh, yes, I believe. Do you believe that a nervous, nagging, fussing, screeching, screaming wife is outside the will of God? Oh, men say, definitely. I really believe that. I agree with you. All right. I'm just asking you some questions tonight. See, we can get at this thing real good if you want to face it just like it is. Do you believe that Hollywood is outside the will of God? Oh, you've said, I really do. I think it's more devil in that. All right. What are you going to do about it? Do you believe that worldly magazines with cigarette ads and liquor drinking ads and with a bunch of profanity and filth and stories that are unholy and unrighteous, you believe that they ought to be in your home? Oh, you'd say, no, that's outside the will of God. All right. All right. Now, do you believe that worldly records such as rock and roll ought to be permitted to be brought into your home by your young people, you know, and they ought to get inside when the young people come, and that they ought to be able to play and listen to them, and you ought to, and they ought to turn on the radio program and listen to worldly radio program. Worldly. You believe that's outside the will of God? You say, indeed I do. All right! I got a verse for you in just a minute. Do you believe, dear friend, that things in your house that are outside the will of God ought to be allowed to stay in your house? If you do not, then why don't you take this old gospel broom and sweep clean, go home tonight and start sweeping out? Or will you say, I don't want to be in the will of God that bad? Then go ahead and suffer the consequences. Go ahead, you stubborn rebel. You'll catch it before it's over, I'll promise you that. And brother, everybody ought to be preached to just like that. If you're so self-willed and determined to live like the devil and like a dirty hog, go ahead, but for all these things, God said, I'll bring you into judgment. Don't you kid yourself. God hadn't changed his standards any. You mothers and daddies can wink and blink at sin and let your children go to the devil, but you're going to pay the price before this thing is over. Now then, here's the verse I want to give you. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. And the Bible said the wages of sin is death. And so you've invited the undertaker to make an early call at your house. That's what the Bible says, dear friend. All over this country, people are dying tonight, and church members are being cut off from the very mercy of God because of our rebellion. Dear friend, we think that our way's better. We think the medicine and the drugstore and the doctor and the psychiatrist and our little recreational program and our camping site and our little camper and our boat and our motor and all the rest of it is going to bring health. It's bringing death to us. Worse and worse we become because we've crowded Christ up. Quiet be on the Lord's side. I'll give you three sweet reasons. It's the safe way. God's side is a safe side. Don't try to scare me. I'm not scarable. I have my faith in Him. My heart's fixed on Jesus. My hope's built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. You'd say, what's going to happen to civilization? It's going to go like all the rest of them to nothing because it's going to be destroyed. We say we live in a time of modern civilization and modern progress. In which direction? All right, number two. It's the safe side. It's the clean side. It's the clean side. I like to be on the clean side. I've always been on it. I've cheated. I've lied. So has everybody else. Because the Bible said, let every man be a liar and let God be true. But I never have really enjoyed winning unless I won clean. That's not all of it. It's the victorious side. Oh, listen, sometimes it may be like our side's suffering some defeats. They're only skirmishes, dear friend. The victory belongs to God. I'm on the winning side. I'll guarantee you. You and I who are on the Lord's side, our captain is leading us on to certain victory. Stand up for Jesus, for strife will not be long. This day the noise of conflict, the next the victor's song. And I'm ready to sing it, aren't you? The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea.